a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
This is Pastor John filling in this morning for Pastor Greg. I am thrilled this morning to bring to you a topic as we approach the Christmas holiday. I want to share with you another perspective on the birth of Christ. And so I've titled this week's series, The Birth of Christ Seen Through the Enemies of Christ. By the way, if you're interested in receiving our show notes, please email us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. Now, we're driving in the car, we're listening to the radio, but if you decide to study this topic further, let me just give you some additional tips. One, get your favorite Bible translation. Second, if you don't have a harmony of a gospel, this is an important book to add to this study. Now, what is a harmony of a gospel? Imagine opening up to a page and seeing four different columns, and in each column is each of the gospels, side by side. So it's like reading all four gospels at once. And when you're studying the birth of Christ, you're going to need this book because Matthew and Luke have some things in common, and we want to look at those. Also, if you've got a commentary that provides the background of the New Testament, that's a great resource as well. And then lastly, a Bible dictionary is a wonderful tool. It can help you understand people, places, and events. And having these resources near you when you're studying the Scriptures can only help you go deeper and help you answer those questions that sometimes come to mind as you're reading the text. Now, as we proceed, I want to give you today's outline, and this is going to be for the rest of the week. So we'll try to get as much done today, but if we don't wrap it up today, I promise you we'll be back in no time, and we'll be able to finish the passage. So the outline is we're going to talk about two prophetic passages. Then we're going to look at two genealogies. We're going to look at two births. We're going to look at two kings, and we're going to end with two responses. So let's begin on our topic, the birth of Christ seen through the enemies of Christ. And really the best place to start on this is to go back to the beginning. So we're going to look at two prophetic passages. The first one is from Genesis. And if you know your Bible, you probably already know where I'm going. Genesis chapter 3. This is when it all went wrong. Satan, as you know, comes into the garden and he tempts Eve. And Eve is deceived, but Adam is there, and he's not deceived, and he partakes of this fruit of the tree that God forbid them. And in that moment, when they had sinned, they realized that they had sinned, that they were naked, and they fled, they hid, they covered themselves. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, in his patience and mercy, comes into the garden to find them. And he confronts first Satan. And in confronting Satan, he curses him. But in the midst of that curse, he introduces a very important prophecy. In Genesis 3:15, you recall he said this, "And I will put enmity," that is another word for hostility, "I will put hostility between you and the woman. And here it is, in between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In this small, compact passage, we get the first prophecy of the coming Savior. And it's right there in the text, her seed. And that seed will bruise Satan's head, a blow to the head that is fatal. But notice in there it says, "And you shall bruise his heel." And that's a picture of the cross. Christ was wounded and he died on the cross. But it wasn't a fatal blow because he was raised from the dead. And so we're introduced to this seed. Now let's take this seed concept and just go a little bit deeper before we get into the other prophetic passage, because this seed carries on. If you fast forward to Genesis chapter 6 through 10, we find out that all the world is going to be judged, that God is going to drown the world. But then we discover that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now it doesn't mean that Noah merited or worked for that grace. No, in faith, Noah believed in God. And God rescued Noah and his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And he put them in this ark. And you know the story. The flood came, and it rained for 40 days, and all the world was destroyed. The only survivors were those in the ark, the animals that God brought on board. And did you know that Noah was in that ark for a whole year? Imagine a whole year on the boat. Now, when they came out of the boat, the whole world had been washed away, and now God was, in a sense, starting over again. And so from Noah's seed became the population that we have today. And then it's interesting because after Noah's story, it fast forwards to Abraham. And in Genesis 12, we get another insight into this seed. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so through Abraham, God would bring about the nation of Israel. Amazing. One man. And his faith, which is described in Genesis 15, he would begin to serve God and follow God, and then he would give birth to a son, and eventually, as I said, the whole nation of Israel is birthed from that one man. And then fast forward, because we get more insight into this other seed, and this is during the time of David. It's in 2 Samuel 7, and this is when we get introduced to the Davidic covenant. And it says in 2 Samuel 7:12 the following, when your days are fulfilled, and your rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, this is really key because there's a parallel passage that says the same thing. But I want to read through the 2 Samuel first, and then we'll go to the next passage that parallels this. Now, listen closely. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Now, the question is, who is this? Now, I believe this is Solomon because of what follows. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. So what's being discussed in this passage is the fact that David's throne on earth, the throne in Jerusalem, will continue beyond his life. It'll continue to his son and continue on. But the kings that sit on that throne, they will sin. Now let's go to 1 Chronicles 17:11. You may not have been aware of this parallel passage, but listen to these words. It almost sounds identical, but there's some big differences. So verse 11, and it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. Notice the phrase, from your kingdom to his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him who was before you. And listen to this, and I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Do you see how it changed from your kingdom to my kingdom? Now, I believe in 1 Chronicles 17, we are getting insight into the greater descendant of David. This is a picture of Jesus Christ, who will come and take the physical throne in Jerusalem. And I believe this will take place in the millennial kingdom during the thousand-year reign of Christ, where he will sit on the throne of David and rule. And so these two passages are promising a lot. One, a earthly throne with an earthly man, and then ultimately a earthly throne with a heavenly man sitting on it, the God-man. Now, this is an amazing picture of this seed that was introduced in Genesis, promised through Noah, into Abraham, and even further to David. Now, we know, ultimately, who this king is. It's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll get to his birth in a little bit, his first coming. But there's another prophetic passage that I don't want you to miss. At the end of the Bible, that looks back on these events. And it's in Revelation 12, verses 1 through 6. Here it is. It's a very difficult passage to read, but we'll break it down for you. Revelation 12, 1 through 6. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head had a garland of 12 stars. Now, there's many views on this, but I believe the scriptures are clear. This can be no other than Israel, because if you remember Joseph's dream, it was described this way as well, with the woman and the sun and the moon and the 12 stars. So this is a picture of Israel. Now, verse 2, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. This is a terrifying creature. His tail drew a third of the stars of the heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, in this amazing description that John the Apostle gives us in Revelation 12, 2 through 5, we're getting a picture, a summary of the history of Israel and this attack on Israel to stop this promised seed. And there's been many attacks on Israel, certainly to stop this child from being born. Satan almost succeeded, except God saved Noah and the 3 sons and 3 wives. And out of them, the line continued. And then we have Abraham. Of course, there were opportunities when Abraham gave up Sarah to these kings, but God protected her and protected the line. And so we've seen this attack on Israel over the years, enemies of God, probably inspired by Satan himself. But yet the birth of the Messiah continued, didn't it? And so we've got to watch out for this. And then it says in verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And that is a picture of the millennial kingdom right there. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. And where is Christ right now? He's been caught up to God and he's at the throne. That's the church age. We're waiting for his return to rule and reign. But until then, we wait patiently. And so that verse 5 really describes the birth, the life, and the death of Christ. And then verse 6, the last part, is this. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that she should feed her there 1,260 days. And if you do the math, that works out to about 3.5 years. In other words, half of the tribulation. So in this very short prophetic passage, John the Apostle looks back to the past, sees Israel coming onto the scene, and Israel is growing as a nation, bringing forth the Messiah, the Savior. And we see Satan ready to destroy Christ. But God is sovereign, and no plan or scheme of the devil can stop that birth. And so I'm going to leave you today with this thought, and that is, God is so sovereign, and no matter what the plans of Satan are, his will be accomplished. The question for you today is, are you in his will? So we'll see you next time, and we look forward to continuing this amazing story of the birth of Christ seen through the enemies of Christ.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.